Praise the Lord. As my brother Musa called me, I said, Musa, stop the whole line of titles. Call me Rebecca. But he has repeated the same thing again. But I'm so grateful to the Lord to be here this, is it afternoon, evening, whatsoever. But I'm here and I'm so grateful to the Lord that I am here. I've seen several faces of UCU. And I want to say I'm so delighted to see that you are in church. It is such a blessing. I want to thank the Lord for this time. As I was preparing this message, one of the things I thought about was the image of marriage. And I was wondering, because I had not asked my brother Musa, how many married people are going to be there? And how am I going to make reference to Ephesians 5 if all these people are not married? And I was just going to mention it simply because Musa and myself are there. Actually, I seem to be the oldest in marriage in this congregation. I've been married for the past 26 years. So better clap for me. Yes, the secret of that you'll know at another time, not today, because that's not the topic. And actually, my last born is here. She's a first year in university. So that's how old I am. But I want to thank the Lord so much for this time that I'm here, and I want to pray that the Lord will bless us together as we share in His Word. I got to know Christ when I was 12 years of age, and I was in a little primary school somewhere in the village. I keep telling people that I'm a typical village girl. So when I talk about my old stories, I talk about the village that some of you have never stepped, so I don't want to go there. But 12 years ago, at the age of 12, Christ found me in that little village, in that little church, but it made all the difference in my life. And so when I stand here and I see you young people who have come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are so delighted, you celebrate His goodness and His love, I feel so encouraged, I feel so delighted. And I know that your years are not wasted, because the years in Christ are not a wastage of time. And so we thank the Lord so much for this time and for this service and for the testimonies that have been shared. So thank you so much for sharing those testimonies. Before I get into the theme of the day, let us pray. Blessed Father, what a joy to be here in your presence. We want to thank you so, so much that in your presence we stand. In your hands we commit our lives. And Lord, we pray that you, in your goodness and mercy, will raise us up. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to me as you speak to my brothers and sisters. And I pray that you'll be glorified in this service. For in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 2 years ago, someone sent me a story. And I read this story. And it went that two people were married. And after 3 years in marriage, they contemplated divorce. And the man said, brought the papers and asked the wife to sign the divorce papers because he had found himself into another relationship 3 years after marriage. And the lady said, fine, I am going to sign the papers. But one condition is you are going to do just one little thing that you did when we had just gotten married. And after you do that for 1 month, I'll be ready to sign the papers and I will go, and you'll also go your way to your woman. And the condition was, every day you will carry me and bring me to the dining table and give me food, and I will eat, and you'll carry me to the bedroom. In the morning, you will carry me and put me in the car and drive me to my place of work, and then you continue. Just do that for this 1 month, and then we'll sign the papers. The man said, that is easy if that is the condition. After all, I did it at some point. So I'm going to do it again. The man started doing it the first day, the second day, the third day. By the time it got to 2 weeks, he stole the papers and hid them. Because he was getting closer to this woman more than ever before. And he just thought, I cannot divorce this woman. I love her. 1 month down the road, the woman said, can you now bring the papers and we sign them? And the man said, no. I have told the other woman that I have my wife. Praise the Lord. We are talking about the bride, Christ and the church. The question here was, how many of us are brides? I think some people are saying, but how can I raise my hand in this place? I'm not someone's bride. But we are talking here about the bride of Christ. We are talking about relationships. We are talking about intimacy with someone that you love so dearly. We are talking about sustaining a relationship with someone that you have dearly loved. And for those that are in marriage, you remain the bride to that particular man, no matter how many years it takes. Every time he looks at you, he imagines you are the bride that he wedded yesterday. If people were to count, they would just say, this is my bride. I wedded yesterday, and yesterday would become yesterday forever. And you just keep saying yesterday and yesterday and yesterday, even up to 26 years like mine, it remains yesterday. Because the love, the intimacy, the freshness, and everything remains the same every day and every day and every day. And I pray that as we think about this, our intimacy with Jesus Christ is going to grow stronger as we think about this relationship. As we read in the first reading, we were talking about the stone that had been rejected becoming the cornerstone. And that is a sign of intimacy that Jesus, who was rejected, Jesus who was crucified, Jesus who was hanged, Jesus who was... everything that was done to him has now become the cornerstone. And therefore, the intimacy gets stronger and stronger on a daily basis. I have sad news for people who are not intimate with Christ, because this message does not make a lot of sense. But I want to pray that by the end of this message, you will consider to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The door is still open for you to get into this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We are talking about Christ and the church. I just thought that I would take a few minutes just to share about what is this church that we are talking about. Many of us, the church is this building that we see. As I stand here, this is the building that is called the church. And therefore, when I enter this building, I enter this building with all the sense of holiness. As I get to the door, even when I was laughing so loud, my tone will lower down, because I'm now entering in the church. I'm entering the house of God. And if we are holding hands, then we'll let the hands be, and then we'll walk with all the holiness and purity in the church. And then we'll remind ourselves, just wait until we finish church. Just wait. Just hold on. And then you'll tell someone, yeah, we can do it. But just wait for me to go to church. I'll be in the church, and you know, All Saints, it doesn't take long. The preaching is just like 20 minutes, and I'll be here with you. So the church, the whole essence of church is a building. But when we are talking about Christ and church, I want us to walk out of the building and be the real church that we are talking about. And here the church is defined as an assembly of people that are called out. Oh, it's not just a building. It's a congregation. It is an assembly. It is believers that are called the church. It's a gathering of people. You know, when you read Romans chapter 16, verse 5, Paul says, greet the church that is in their house. You get that? Greet the church that is in their house. He's not telling them just to greet the building, but the church. who is a, who's the church that sits in their house. So I want us to get ourselves out of this building for a moment and know that with or without this building, we are the church. It does not matter where we sit, but we are the church of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. The body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. When you read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23, it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be over everything for the church." You know, he appointed him to be head over everything. He appointed Christ to be the head of the church. And Christ could not just be in heading the building, but he heads the body of Christ, the people. The body of Christ is made up of all believers, all people that believe in Christ Jesus. Many times we pray for the church universal, many times we pray for the church worldwide, and some people do not quite understand it. And some people have wondered, why do we have even to say in the Apostles' Creed, "I left the Catholic Church," and some people are like, why are we praying for this Catholic Church? And it confuses us so much when we talk about the Catholic Church in the Apostles' Creed. But we are talking about the universal church, the church of God, the people of God that are scattered elsewhere. But the Bible also talks about the local church. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, Paul, an apostle, and all the brothers with me to the churches in Galatia. How we see that in the province of Galatia, there are many churches that we call local churches. Local churches are also gatherings of members, as we see it mentioned in the Bible. So we have the local church. You know, I have been a chaplain for the past 10 years. And usually, when a student comes to tell me I want to do something, I ask them, where do you go to church? Where are you accountable? You know, each one of us is accountable to a local church. You are accountable to a local congregation. You are accountable to those who pray from all saints. If you came to me for something, I will call my brother Musa and say, "Musa, do you know this person?" But you know, students are interesting. This is one student that came into my office and he wanted a recommendation. And I asked him where he comes from, and he told me a lie, because he knew an Anglican church in that particular area. And he said, "I come from St. John's Church of Uganda, Busia." And I said, okay. I picked the phone. Little did he know that I served in that church for 4 years. So I picked the phone. And as I picked the phone, he said, "Chaplain, wait." I told him, "I am calling the parish priest of St. John's Church of Uganda to find out if he knows you." And he said, "Wait. I am sorry. I told you a lie. I actually do not go to church." And I told him, "The best thing you'd have told me is that you do not go to church and I would know how to deal with you." Praise the Lord. So some of us, church is just something that we talk about. But when we talk about church, we are talking about you as a person. And that is why we talk about you as the bride of Christ, irrespective of whether you are male or female. Some of us could say, "For me, I'm male. How comes that I'm the bride? I have to be the groom." In the real sense, you'll be the groom. But when it comes to Christ and the church, you are the bride. Both male and female become the bride, because together we form the church of Christ. And so you and I are the church of Christ, and therefore the bride that Christ will be coming for at a later stage. When you read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 29, it's literally an image. It's a scripture that we use in most cases as a scripture reference for people that are getting married. But when you want to bring out the whole issue of Christ being the bridegroom and the church, one of the things that come out very clearly is that Christ, who is the head of the church, who is the bridegroom, offers his life. You know, he sacrifices. When I'm teaching people in premarital counseling, I tell them the job of the wife is actually lighter. But the job of a man, when it comes to Ephesians 5, it is really very hectic. Because you are supposed to lay down your life for me. I can trample on you because you are the man. I am the wife. You are the head. You know, men like being heads. And you love talking about it. But when it comes to sacrifice, you would rather have the wife sacrifice and you don't. But this one tells us that Christ loved the church so much that he offered his life for this church. He offered his life for the church. He sacrificed. He loved it deeply that he offered and sacrificed his life for this church. And so when we think about Christ, when we think about ourselves as the bride of Christ, we are thinking about this Christ who is saying, I have loved my church so deeply. I have loved people so deeply. I have taken time to nurture them. You know, friends, we've had people who have shared their testimonies about marriage. And when we talk about Christ coming as the bridegroom, coming to take the bride, we are talking about people who have waited. You know, as people wait for marriage in a relationship, that period of waiting is a period of cleaning up. I have watched several people. I can't remember myself so well those days, but I have watched people these days. There are so many things that are attached to this thing that makes you feel, hey, will it remain like that? Will it change? Or what is going to happen? People buy so much. People put in so much. People make budgets that they can never fulfill because they are preparing for this special day. They prepare so much. They put their lives in dates, some of them. Actually, you do what is beyond your income. Someone will double the ring. If the ring is supposed to be 200, they will put it at 400, and they will call it a wedding ring. A wedding ring. And sometimes I wonder what is so unique with a wedding ring. But the wedding ring will be 2 million. And you are thinking, what a wedding ring. When they put it on, it's not different from mine. It remains a wedding ring. And then they look for the gown. And the gown, they are going to use it from church to the reception. And then they will remove it and someone will disappear with it. 4 million. And then you're wondering, what are you preparing? This is my wedding. It is a one-time thing. It is a one-time thing. I am not going to repeat it again. My children look at my gown and they laugh every day. And I tell them it was the best at the time. Yes, 26 years ago, it was the best. Yes, and they look at the car and the number plates and say, wow, what are these? And I say, those were the best cars at the time. It was the best wedding of the time and the best of the year. And so it cannot be compared with what is there now. But this is what it is. Christ, the groom, we are waiting for his second coming. And he says that at his second coming, he's coming to take a church which has no spot or wrinkle. A church which is spotless. A church which is pure. A church which is holy. And you know, when you read the way it will come down, the way that it will happen, when you read in Revelation from chapter 19, you know, the way the New Jerusalem comes down, the way the city of God comes down, and then the description of the new heaven, it just describes the thing so well. In our old days, we used to sing a song. It was sung either by the Seventh-day Adventist or so, but it was a song which was talking about Jerusalem, the new city. When it comes down, I'll say it in Luganda the way it is. Echibuga chionjo, chiyoyote dua, chakayaka. Kwegamba, it is a very, very beautiful city. The way it is described, the new Jerusalem. And so it is a place that when, as we look forward to it, as believers in Jesus Christ, we who are the bride wait with great anticipation for that day to come when we'll be united with our bridegroom. Until then, we have to remain faithful and say to the redeemed that come, Lord Jesus. We have to remain faithful as we wait for that. So friends, if the church is the bride of Christ, what sort of person are you supposed to be as you wait? The first one is that we must be people who understand God's purpose and the truth of the gospel. We must be people who understand God's purpose and the truth of the gospel. If we are waiting for this day, then we have to be the church that understands the truth of the gospel. Friends, today, many things are happening around us, and many of us are full of excitement. But the excitement, where it lands us in trouble, because the truth of the gospel is missing today. When you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul said, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and foundation of the truth. I want you to look at yourself and the things that you want to hear. Can I say that you as a Christian, you as the church that Christ is coming for, can I categorize you as a pillar of the word of the truth? Do you have the truth in you? Or it's just about anything that comes by, anything that seems to be the gospel is truth for you? It is the place where God's truth is totally taught with complete authority. Friends, if you are the kind of person that Christ is coming for, then it must be you, the person who understands the word of God. You know, some of us carry the Bibles. That is true. It is good to carry the Bible, but it's a different thing to read the Bible. It is easy to carry the Bible, but a different thing to read the Bible. It is easy to come to church, but it is a different thing to understand the message. It is easy to sing praises. It is another thing to understand what those praises mean to you. You know, friends, you can minister to other people, but you fail to minister to yourself. And that is very dangerous for our lives today. Many of us are excited about church simply because there is a lot of music. But even what the music says is not something that speaks into our lives. I want to pray that if you are the church that Christ is coming for, if you are the bride that Christ is coming for, then you must be the kind of person who has embraced the word of truth. And embracing the truth of the gospel means that you have an intimate relationship with who? With Christ. And if you do not have an intimate relationship with Christ, then it gets hard. Secondly, you must be aware that Christ alone is the head of the church. Friends, we have heard people talk about themselves at the expense of Christ. We've heard people praise themselves. You know, many times I ask my students questions, who told you? And someone says, my pastor. And I wonder, you know, stop making reference to Reverend Musa. He's not the authority. The authority is scripture. I'm not the authority. You cannot quote me, but you can quote scripture. Because scripture is the authority and Christ is the head of the church. Colossians 1:8 reminds us, 18 says that he is the head of the body of the church, and that is Christ. So we must understand from the bottom of our hearts that Christ is the head of the church, and he is in control of our lives. You know, many times Christ is our Savior, but Christ is not our Lord. Yes, if Christ is the Savior, he's just saved you and he keeps providing. And we have categorized Christ. For some of us, Christ is just a provider. Today, this morning, we are talking about tithing. And the preacher was just challenging us and saying, you do not want to give, but you are very good at asking. Why do you ask for where you do not deposit? And so many of us, the challenge is that we do not know Christ, but we keep thinking we can draw from where we have not deposited. And so may God give us the grace to think deeply about that. We must also remember, as we look around, that perfection can only come through Christ. When Christ heads our lives, then we can be perfect in our ways. But also we have to remember that until Christ comes, we cannot perfect our lives because we are moving in a world of sin. Many of us at the point of baptism were told that we are going to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And therefore we walk in this church. We walk as a church that is fighting. The church that is in war. The church that is in battle. And therefore, many of us think, well, I've been in All Saints for a long time. I better try somewhere else. You know, we always tell people that if you are not perfect in All Saints, don't go to Watoto because you'll destroy it. You will destroy it because then you are the problem. And now, having looked at a church as the bride of Christ and knowing that Christ is coming to take a church on the final day, what type of people is Christ going to find? One, Christ needs to find us when we are pure, when we are faithful, when we are waiting patiently. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, he says, "For I am jealousy over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ Jesus." And then verse 27 of chapter 5 of Ephesians says, "That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such a thing, but it should be holy and without blemish." Purity. Purity is very important, and purity comes with faithfulness and patience and waiting. For over the years, purity has become a big issue in most of our lives. Purity is a challenge, and someone was asking, does purity apply only to the unmarried and not the married? The vows that we make in marriage to stick to one husband, that is a commitment to purity. And the purity before marriage actually helps you to be pure in marriage. But if you are used to moving from one person to another before marriage, friends, when you get married, you'll never be satisfied. You will think, let me try another option. I want to encourage us to be pure before we get married, and pure after marriage. Purity in Christ. Waiting. You know, there is that stanza in Blessed Assurance that says, "Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed." Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness and lost in his love. Can we sing that stanza? "Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love." Praise the Lord. Watching and waiting, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. You know, there are times that people have walked to me and they tell me, they are crying, and then someone says you, "We broke up." You know, that's the statement you use. "We broke up." And then you are in tears. "We broke up. Something went wrong." And then you ask, "After how long? He promised me. After all these years, I even went and visited the parents. He broke up." It becomes the chorus. after watching and waiting, looking above, filled in his goodness, lost in the love of that man, he breaks up. The only person who does not break up is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And I keep telling people that when he breaks up, he should not break with your heart. Because there is someone who upholds your heart. Yes, when you break up, I give glory to God because you are not the right person. I thank God because you didn't take me into marriage. Because you would have broken up after the vows. But now when you break up, I praise the Lord because my Jesus never breaks up. Hallelujah. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. And when we are lost in the love of Christ, when we are filled with his goodness, we remain faithful. We wait patiently for Christ, knowing that I am the bride and he is the bridegroom. And he is coming for me at the appropriate time. Turn with me to chapter 19 of Revelation. Chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 7 says, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. This is the description of the second coming of Christ. And just as I say that, there is no way that you can divorce this imagery from the reality of marriage. Friends, when a couple is entering church, people don't care about the man. They care about the lady. And I have been at weddings. In most cases, someone will not leave the wedding until the changing dress appears. When they see the changing dress, then they begin to compare that one. It was not like the other one. And they are also looking for their changing dress. So they are thinking, I need also to copy the fashion of the changing dress. This is what is going to happen. And here he says that, let us rejoice, for the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself in fine linen. Friends, I want us to think deeply about this. If you have been in a close relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible is telling us that when he comes, we'll be like the bride has been dressed up for a long time and waiting. At my wedding, when we walked in church, I told you that I don't remember many things, but there are incidents I remember. We walked into church. And when we stood before the reverend, one of my cousins walked in and lifted up his hand and said, stop. And everybody stopped. And he said, you are not going to wed them because the Muko is not here yet. And everyone went silent. You know, friends, I'm just going to give you a picture. I think the worst pictures are the ones that they took when we just sat back on our chairs. Because we are so angry after standing before the priest and then someone is saying, stop. And we stopped for about 30 minutes until the Muko arrived. When Christ comes, only those that will be waiting for him, those that have lived a life of faithfulness, those that have kept themselves pure, are the ones that are going to meet him. And it gives us a description in chapter 21, verse 1 to 2. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the image that we are being given. There is a moment of readiness to receive, to meet Christ. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, life can be interesting in many ways, but at the last minute, we have to know that each one of us is going to face Christ. Are you prepared to face Christ? Are you prepared to see Christ? Thirdly, a testimony. Do you have a testimony? Can you be able to tell about the goodness of Christ as a bride that is waiting for your bridegroom to come? And then the third one is be alert. You can read Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 18. Be alert, the story of the 10 virgins. We have the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 virgins who kept the oil. So my dear sister and brother, I want to pray that Christ is coming. And it is not a rumor, it's not a joke, Christ is coming. And when Christ comes, is Christ going to find you prepared and ready to go with him? It is possible for us to walk as Christians for many years, but at the end of the day, we will not see Christ. I want to pray that as you leave church today, you'll think about it, you'll testify about it, you'll be alert, you live a pure life, waiting to see Christ as he comes, filled with his goodness and lost in his love. And knowing that it is only the love of Christ that will make a difference. There is a song that we always sing and says, take me deeper in love with you. Take me deeper in love with Christ. Until we enjoy the depth of our love in Christ, it's going to be difficult for us to meet Christ. Friends, you are the bride and Christ is the bridegroom. One day he is coming. Are you ready to meet him? Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, because you've called us. And we thank you because you are the bridegroom, O God, and we are the bride that are waiting for you. Give us such a commitment of heart that we will look to you and be able to enjoy the beauty of your goodness. We bless you and give you glory. For in the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed.